He looked around for a stick or a club. He didn't have the slightest idea what was on the agenda for humanity, but if it was left unsupervised or uncontrolled, it would soon be reverting to its normal state. Once the shock was over, the people would be looking out for themselves, and that meant that some would be bullying others. He found nothing useful as a weapon. Then it occurred to him that the metal cylinder could be used as a weapon. He banged it against a tree. Though it had little weight, it was extremely hard. He raised the lid, which was hinged inside at one end. The hollow interior had 6 snap-down rings of metal, 3 on each side, and spaced so that each could hold a deep cup or dish or rectangular container of gray metal. All the containers were empty. He closed the lid. Doubtless he would find out in time what the function of the cylinder was. Whatever else had happened, resurrection hadn't resulted in bodies of fragile, misty ectoplasm. He was all bone and blood and flesh. Though he still felt somewhat detached from reality, as if he had been disengaged from the gears of the world, he was emerging from his shock. He was thirsty. He would have to go down and drink from the river and hope that it wouldn't be poisoned. At this thought, he grinned wryly and stroked his upper lip. His finger felt disappointed. That was a curious reaction, he thought. And then he remembered that his thick mustache was gone. Oh, yes, he had hoped that the river water would not be poisoned. What a strange thought. Why should the dead be brought back to life only to be killed again? But he stood for a long while under the tree. He hated to go back through that madly talking, hysterically sobbing crowd to reach the river. Here, away from the mob, he was free from much of the terror and the panic and the shock that covered them like a sea. If he ventured back, he would be caught up in their emotions again. Presently, he saw a figure detach itself from the naked throng and walk toward him. He saw that it was not human. It was then that Burton was sure that this resurrection day was not the one which any religion had stated would occur. Burton hadn't believed in the God portrayed by the Christians, Muslims, Hindus, or any faith. In fact, he wasn't sure that he believed in any creator whatsoever. He had believed in Richard Francis Burton and a few friends. He was sure that when he died, the world would cease to exist. Chapter 4. Waking up after death in this valley by this river, he had been powerless to defend himself against the doubts that existed in every man exposed to an early religious conditioning and to an adult society which preached its convictions at every chance. Now, seeing the alien approach, he was sure that there was some other explanation for this event than a supernatural one. There was a physical, a scientific reason for his being here. He didn't have to resort to Judeo-Christian-Muslim myths for cause. The creature, it undoubtedly was a male, was a biped about 6 feet 8 inches tall. The pink-skinned body was very thin. There were 3 fingers and a thumb on each hand, and 4 very long and thin toes on each foot. There were 2 dark red spots below the male nipples on the chest. The face was semi-human. Thick black eyebrows swept down to the protruding cheekbones and flared out to cover them with a brownish down. The sides of his nostrils were fringed with a thin membrane about 1/16 of an inch long. The thick pad of cartilage on the end of his nose was deeply cleft. The lips were thin, leathery, and black. The ears were lobeless, and the convolutions within were non-human. His scrotum looked as if it contained many small testes. He had seen this creature floating in the ranks a few rows away in that nightmare place. The creature stopped a few feet away, smiled, and revealed quite human teeth. He said, "I hope you speak English. However, I can speak with some fluency in Russian, Mandarin Chinese, or Hindustani." Burton felt a slight shock, as if a dog or an ape had spoken to him. "You speak Midwestern American English," he replied. "Quite well, too, although too precisely." "Thank you," the creature said. "I followed you because you seemed the only person with enough sense to get away from that chaos. Perhaps you have some explanation for this, what do you call it, resurrection?
No more than you, Burton said.
In fact, I don't have any explanation of your existence before or after resurrection.